Love is a doing word. Written by A Murder Of. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Dragon Age Inquisition. Rating, explicit. Relationship, Iron Bull, Dorian Pavas. Also tagged for Omegaverse. Alpha Beta Omega Dynamics. Internalized Prejudice. Rimming. Anal fingering. Anal sex. Mating cycles or in heat. Nodding. Self-lubrication. And implied consent. Part 1 of the Fearless on My Breath series. Dorian can barely stand to look at him. It's disgusting, vile, absolutely absurd and out of the line that anyone would behave in such a manner. There are things one talks about in public, and then there are things one never discusses outside of their own room, if that. Never with anyone else, even if it seems necessary. In fact, Dorian would like to forget that the conversation he can't help but overhear ever happened. He shouldn't be privy to it. It shouldn't be discussed amongst public company. And yet, there they are, the Chargers and their ridiculous brute of a leader, discussing private moments as though they were fodder for good conversation. Torrid bedroom talk Dorian listens to because it's impossible not to. As small as the tavern is, and as booming as the Iron Bull's voice is. One of the Chargers starts the conversation. Where Bull's been and with whom? Somebody special? There's raucous laughter, followed by Bull waving his hands in the air to quiet them.
No, no, Bull says. It's not half as scandalous as you're making it sound. I'm just never gonna turn down someone who's looking for help with the heat.
Everyone at the table, nay, everyone in the tavern is aware of that now, in tantalizing detail, and Dorian feels his cheeks flush. The way they all talk about it, as though this is a common conversation to have in public, unsettles Dorian at his core. He feels ashamed for hearing it. And yet he listens to Bull talk about what he does and what he likes to do, respectful of the Omega he attends to. That's how he phrases it. Whomever he attends to. As though there's nothing shameful in the act. Dorian doesn't believe it. No one thinks like that. The South has open views of sex and sexuality, and clearly the Kunari do as well. But Dorian refuses it. He can't help it, though. Can't help how he imagines it. He's never spent one of his heats with someone else, never been able to overcome the shame even after he fled from his parents and stayed with Alexius, even on his journey to the South. But he's unable to shake the mental image now. He's unable to stop thinking about it, about those large hands in his hair, about those strong arms surrounding him, about those fingers sliding deep within him. He wonders what it would be like to share a heat, to share it with someone who would not be ashamed of him, to share, and with someone who didn't think there was anything to be ashamed of in the first place. Dorian thinks about this, and listens to Bull and his chargers laughing at each other. And drinks. Dorian wishes he were surprised that eventually, regardless of his initial and ongoing preconceptions, all of those useless hours spent culminate in his falling into the Bull's bed, quite literally, given the state of their combined sobriety, or lack thereof.
"Careful there, big guy," Bull says,
mouth scant inches from Dorian's skin at his neck, and Dorian's eyes roll back into his head. He's drunk, is the thing. It has absolutely nothing to do with the weight of Bull pressing down on him, his knee between Dorian's parting legs. "I knew you were a clumsy oaf," Dorian replies, and presses his palm, fingers spread wide, over Bull's chest. Sweet Andraste, how warm his skin is. How good it feels under Dorian's hands. The texture different than he's used to. Like leather. Bull grins down at him, his smile no different than the one he shoots Dorian's way when they're out with the Inquisitor. And Dorian lets the thrill of that pour down his spine. Bull's open affection not embarrassing like this. Nothing to hide from with the warmth in Dorian's limbs and in his gut. Bull leans in and kisses him, and Dorian digs his fingernails into Bull's glorious chest, a pathetic attempt at grabbing for purchase, given the way Dorian feels suddenly as though the bed has been pulled out from underneath him and he's in free fall. This is just sex. Will be. It's only kissing now, with a great Kunari pressing him into the comforter, biting at his lips and rolling their tongues together as though this is actually interesting to him, as though kissing is enough, as though they both don't know how tonight will end. Dorian knows. Oh, how he's imagined it. The Iron Bull laying him out and taking, conquering, as he so crassly put it before, holding Dorian down and fucking him, first with his thick fingers, and then, Dorian shivers at the thought, perhaps with his tongue. Oh, surely Bull would want that. They always do. They have to. Dorian's heard it enough to know that it must be true. A thrilling thought, if a little filthy. Dorian's not sure how to feel about it. And then, of course Bull would want to fuck him. Dorian doesn't know how to feel about that. It's what every Omega is supposed to want, what they're supposed to yearn for, when faced with a big, strapping alpha. At least, that's what he's read. At least, that's what he's been told. Not that anyone talks about it, except in the South. It doesn't happen as Dorian envisioned. They kiss, and Bull does no conquering. The Kunari asks if he can suck Dorian off. And Dorian stares at him, feels his own eyes widen as he works his mouth soundlessly. No Alpha would want to have anything to do with an Omega's phallus. And in his youth, when he'd masqueraded as a Beta, obviously he'd enjoyed fellatio, but... And it dawns on Dorian, with a sinking, unpleasant sensation in his chest, that Bull doesn't know. Bull thinks he's a Beta. Why wouldn't he? Dorian spends every waking moment ensuring nobody knows. He should be flattered that not even the spies figured it out. Bull cottons on to his hesitation, however, and Dorian can't have that. He wraps a hand around one of Bull's horns and packs the disappointment. Why? Why fucking disappointment? Why? Away and gives himself back over to the sensation of Bull above him, around him. Tells him yes, yes, maker yes. Bull is somehow both crass and a perfect gentleman, cracking jokes about pushy mages when Dorian grabs at his horns, but asking permission for every little thing he wants to do, and is absolutely phenomenal at oral sex. And when Dorian comes, Bull drags the back of his hand across his mouth and grins up at Dorian. Dorian can do nothing but drag him back up to kiss, urge him on when Bull takes himself in hand and spends against Dorian's stomach, breathing hotly into Dorian's open mouth. It's a lovely time, and Dorian doesn't regret it when he bites a kiss against Bull's lips before seeing himself out, hair and makeup mussed, skin flushed. He doesn't regret what was obviously a bad idea from the start. He does still wonder, though. It becomes a thing. Dorian takes advantage of Bull's open door policy with increasing regularity. Bull cracks jokes in the tavern about previous dalliances, but has no new stories, and never mentions what he and Dorian get up to between the sheets, or up against the wall, or on the requisition table once. Dorian will admit that it's not what he expected, both their continuing together in the first place, and how Bull behaves in the bedroom. Dorian had supposed that even with Bull's mistaking him for a beta, he'd eventually want to fuck him. That was how alphas were, after all. Dorian had fooled around with several in his lifetime, listened to them lose their calm veneer and talk about how they wanted to knot his pretty mouth. His mouth, for Andraste's sake. Alphas liked several clearly defined things, and yet the Iron Bull seemed to find everything equally important, or at least equally worth pursuing.
"Sit on my face,"
Bull would coax, until Dorian was leaning forward over Bull's chest, breathing hotly against his navel, while Bull held him at the hips and curled his tongue inside him.
"Cross your ankles,"
Bull would command, until Dorian was holding Bull around the neck while Bull slid his dick between Dorian's closed thighs.
"Let me hear you, little mage,"
Bull would hiss into Dorian's ear as Dorian straddled his lap, until Dorian moaned into Bull's mouth while Bull worked both of their cocks in his grip. It was strange that Bull suggested so many things, but never fucking, never brought up pushing Dorian down on his stomach and claiming him. Was it something alphas didn't do with betas? Dorian felt stupid for thinking it, but how was he supposed to know? He'd spent his entire life hiding his sex from anyone outside his immediate family, as did every other Altai. Heat, rut, bloody inconvenient hormones were things that happened to peasants. An Altis was powerful and in control at all times. There were only beta Altai, as far as anyone would tell you, and a few of them could be convinced to let themselves be fucked like an Omega. If you wanted that, there were brothels, and even while drunk and disappointing, Dorian never gave anyone the chance to figure out his sex. And now he regularly shares a bed with the Iron Bull, who makes Dorian want, and not know how to ask, or even if he can. Never could he have expected to feel so naive about sex at his age. Bull wraps one of his meaty arms around Dorian's stomach and pulls him close, loosening his grip only to let Dorian settle himself more comfortably against Bull's side. Dorian lays his hand across Bull's chest, allows himself to take comfort in Bull's hold. Dorian does not ask to stay that night, as though keeping the words to himself makes it any less than what it is. But he also does not leave. Bull doesn't bring it up either, simply tightening his arm around Dorian's back in the foggy moments before Dorian slips off to sleep. Neither of them say anything about it in the morning, though Dorian does hassle Bull for sleeping with his socks on.
"I fell asleep with some sort of heat leech hanging off my side,"
Bull says mildly, and Bull catches the hand Dorian flails at him. "Why this?" Dorian does not whine when he opens the window's curtains and sunlight spills across Dorian's face. It's another brick in this path they're walking on, heading somewhere. Dorian neither knows nor wants to overthink it, for fear of overturning each piece and finding some sort of rot festering underneath. It's good, is what it is. It feels good. It makes him... he feels content. Sometimes happy. often happy. Maker preserve him.
Did you see that?
Bull swings his axe in a wide arc as he turns, smacking it against his shoulder to rest. Grim mutters something about the chief taking out his last damn eye himself. And Bull may ignore him, but Dorian can't keep the small smile from his face. He places his finger against his current page and closes the book on his lap. One of Brother Genetivi's. Dorian's read it several times. Then looks up to meet Bull's gaze. See what? Bull points to his side, and Dorian takes in the remains of what was once a training dummy. Its head is missing. Dorian cranes his neck and finds it in the shadow of one of Skyhold's walls, surrounded by bushes. And it looks as though someone planted something explosive inside of its torso and left it to its fate.
Are you proud of defeating the fake leather man?
Dorian asks, arching one eyebrow, and he ignores the fluttering of happiness in his chest when he sees Krem start laughing behind Bull.
Fuck no,
Bull says, heaving his axe off his shoulder and dropping the head onto the ground. He rests his elbow on the handle and leans forward, and he looks at Dorian from underneath his brow, an angle that Dorian most frequently sees when Bull's teasing him, mouth on his cock. Sweet Andraste. Dorian manages to wrench himself away from that memory in time to hear the tail end of Bull's explanation. Something about a bet he has running with Varric.
So now he's gotta try and piss Morris off by destroying something more annoying to requisition.
We could break a bed, Dorian says, before he thinks through the sentence. And once it's out, he concentrates on not blushing. Vashalte Kafas, did he say that out loud?
That on the table?
Bull asks, with his broad smile, and Dorian quickly opens his book and returns to his reading, so he doesn't say yes.
Do you need anything for next week?
Bull asks him, while Dorian sits at his dressing table and waxes his mustache. Dorian finishes his work and turns his head over his shoulder, blinking back at Bull in confusion. Next week is... Bull rarely allows himself to appear anxious. In the time Dorian has known him, even after they started this strange dalliance of theirs, when Dorian was made aware of the beginnings of the depths to the Iron Bull, that so many would never imagine existed, Bull prefers to tackle his concerns as straightforwardly as possible. Reason it out, or hit something until it's gone. This morning, however... Bull's brow is furrowed, and his eye is narrowed. His lips are pursed. He looks like he sucked on a lemon. Though, knowing Bull, he'd like that sort of thing. Next week is Dorian's heat. The Inquisitor knows, because she accompanied him to visit his father in Redcliffe and heard the whole dreadful tale... But she had sworn not to reveal him if he asked it of her. And of course, he did. He's not a fool. And he trusts her not to have done so. Which means Bull... Dorian feels as though he's been dropped into a pool of ice water. How long have you known? Bull's concern twists into confusion, his eyebrows tipping up. He pushes himself up to sitting... and drops an arm across one of his knees.
Pretty soon after you joined the Inquisition. I know you've been keeping it a secret, but I wanted to make sure you'd...
Of course I've not! I simply don't think it's anybody's business. Dorian can feel himself flushing, his cheeks hot with shame. His throat is dry, his tongue heavy in his mouth, his eyes itching for some fucking reason. He feels like he's been punched in the chest.
It's not.
Bull agrees, both his expression and tone perfectly reasonable. It should feel patronizing, should make anger start to boil in the bottom of Dorian's stomach. But there's something about it that steals the emotion out from under him. They sit in silence for long moments, during which Dorian tries desperately to come up with something he can say that won't embarrass himself, shame himself. Anything that isn't asking Bull with a too forced calm why Bull doesn't want to fuck him.
I should have told you I knew,
Bull says, after Dorian's curled his fingers in the back of the chair, scraping his nails against the wood and probably wrecking one or two of them.
I wasn't sure you wanted me to.
Well, if you simply figured it out...
Hey,
Bull interrupts, his voice quiet, as though Dorian were a startled ram. Dorian loathes that it works on him, as sure as how Bull's hand at the small of his back roots him to the bed, as sure as how Bull's grip around Dorian's wrists keeps Dorian focused when Bull's between his knees.
Nobody else knows. I know Vince are fucked up about this stuff, so I kept it to myself. If you wanted to bring it up, you would have. This time, I weighed my options and went with wanting to make sure you had everything you needed for your heat.
Dorian nods, swallowing, and then clings to the last vestiges of his panic, because somehow, maker damn it, it's more comfortable than acknowledging Bull's open, straightforward acceptance. Are you surprised I haven't asked you yet to accompany me through my heat? You were well known around the castle for your abilities, but you can't tell me you're offended. Bull, damn him, looks unfazed by the admittedly lackluster jabs, and Dorian's tongue sticks to the roof of his mouth when Bull maneuvers himself to the side of the bed and spreads his legs, leaning forward with his elbows resting on his thighs.
I'm not offended,
Bull agrees, and for a moment, Dorian can't look away from the arch of his back, the line of his arms, the curve of his ridiculous belly.
You didn't come to me that first time to help you through your heat. You wanted sex, and so did I. It's worked out real well, don't you think?
Obviously. Dorian swallows and forces himself to look away from Bull, towards the new curtains. Hideous, but at least he can distract himself by tracing the pedestrian floral pattern with his eyes. Bull shifts on the bed. Dorian can hear the creaking of the frame and the rustling of his disastrous clothing.
Do you want to know why I haven't asked if I can fuck you?
Dorian keeps his attention elsewhere. He's unsure he could handle Bull's steady gaze and that question all at once. I haven't the slightest. He catches movement in his peripheral vision and turns to see Bull standing next to the chair, an arm's breadth away. Bull doesn't say anything as he bends into a squat, now eye level with Dorian. Dorian could reach out and unsettle him, pushing him back onto his arse, or take him by the horns and yank him forward to kiss. Bull uncurls one of Dorian's hands from the back of the chair and draws it towards him, pressing kisses into Dorian's knuckles. Dorian will never know what to do with Bull's open affection, with how devout he can be. And now he knows that Bull's known, and perhaps that's been at the root of how Bull's treated him, so kindly, so circumspectly, until Dorian wanted something else, until Dorian asked for it. Maker. Dorian could spend an age analyzing the construction of some of Bull's sentences.
Why I haven't asked.
I wanted you to. He looks away as soon as he's said it, and bites the inside of his bottom lip. He sounds like a child. He feels like a child, bumbling through a conversation that shouldn't be above him, but somehow is. And he regrets saying anything in the first place. He should have brushed it off, dismissed Bull's concern, insisted he would be fine if pressed. Instead, he's invited this conversation, awkward and unnecessary and altogether too revealing. He can feel Bull's steady gaze on him, studying him, certainly gleaning far more information than Dorian wants to reveal. He hates that. How Bull can look at him and pick him apart. How Bull seems to know what Dorian needs from him. He hates it. How it makes his heartbeat pick up, his eyes widen, his throat dry, the back of his neck fucking sweat.
I'm not doing any of this because you're an Omega, Bull says, after too long,
After Dorian's worked himself into a state, his hand near to shaking in Bull's grip.
You need to know that.
I'd hope not, Dorian replies immediately. Because if so, you've gotten nothing out of this except a waste of your time. Which is unfair and simply untrue. Dorian even knows it. But the words are easy. The dismissal is easy. Tossing this in Bull's face and letting him deal with it is easy. Because of course Dorian isn't slowly sinking into ice water at the thought of Bull taking what he's been handed and deciding it's not worth it. It's a simplification. It would be. Bull's lips crook up on either side. Absurd how handsome his smile is. And he turns Dorian's hand over and presses a kiss to the center of his palm. Dorian feels lightheaded suddenly.
Messed it up, though, huh?
Dorian clears his throat and bends his fingers to brush his fingertips across Bull's cheek. He can't stand Bull's skill at saying exactly what he needs to hear, but he also can't stop himself from wanting to know what exactly that would be. Which part? Bull turns into Dorian's touch, and whereas Dorian would expect the man to close his eye in circumspection, Bull stares at him undeterred.
I thought if I didn't make a big deal out of it, you'd be more comfortable. But ignoring it made you self-conscious.
Dorian opens his mouth, a protest on his lips. He's no such thing. But Bull squeezes his wrist, and Dorian lets him have that. His temporary silence.
I should have figured that out, and I didn't,
Bull says. Dorian struggles to keep his opinion to himself. How was Bull supposed to figure any of that out if Dorian said nothing? But Bull continues.
So I'll ask you, like I did the first time.
I told you I wanted to take you up on your offer, and you said something crass about riding the bull. Dorian interrupts, because he won't allow Bull to forget that low point. Bull laughs, though, impervious to the folly of such a line, just as he had then, and turns Dorian's hand so he can scrape his teeth across the flesh of Dorian's palm, place a kiss against the reddened skin.
And then I said, whatever you want is yours.
Bull closes his eye then, and nips at the base of Dorian's thumb, before taking it in his mouth, teeth against his skin. Fuck, Dorian breathes out.
That's the idea, if you want.
Bull says, voice muffled, because of how he's filleting Dorian's thumb, sweet maker. You know what I want. Dorian's voice cracks, and he ducks his head, grazing his bottom lip with his teeth. And even so embarrassed, he can't keep himself from dragging his thumb across Bull's tongue, pressing down. Bull opens his eye and hums low in his throat. Dorian imagines he can feel the vibrations from the tip of his finger up through his arm, and draws back from Dorian enough to kiss the tip of his thumb and say,
I want to hear you say it. Tell me.
Dorian breathes in sharply and shudders on the exhale. He could push back. Bull likes that, when he teases him. But there's something to be said for the way Bull's eye darkens when Dorian does exactly as he's told. He presses his thumb against Bull's bottom lip, shiny with his spit. I want you to fuck me, the Iron Bull. Bull licks out at Dorian's thumb, his mouth curling into a frankly ribald grin. He hooks a hand over the back of Dorian's chair and tugs himself to his feet. Dorian tips his head back to look up at him and slides his hands forward to rest on either side of Bull's enormous belt. Are you going to stand there, or are you going to ravish me?
Thinking about it. Making you scream.
Bull replies, and moves his hand from the chair to clasp the side of Dorian's neck, then up the back of his head to thread in his hair. Tight. Dorian's mouth is dry again, and he can feel the arousal building at the base of his stomach, how it sparks up through his chest and out through each limb when Bull twists his hand in Dorian's hair. Dorian closes his eyes and leans back into Bull's grip, baring his throat until it's nigh uncomfortable to swallow. "I'm an impatient man. Get to it!" Bull tugs on his hair once, before letting him go, and stepping back out of Dorian's grip, then hooking one of his hands inside the top of his belt. He looks Dorian over, then nods towards the bed.
"Lay down."
Dorian stands, gripping the back of the chair, and bends one leg to kneel on the seat while he starts to undo his tunic. Bull shakes his head once, and Dorian stops, hands at his collar.
"Lay down."
Bull prompts again, and Dorian's frown continues.
"I won't rip your fancy duds."
Dorian has half a mind to not believe that, but then Bull's never done something he told Dorian he wouldn't. So Dorian leaves his clothes alone and brushes past Bull. The heat of him, Dorian can feel it in his core. To toe off his shoes and lay himself out. It feels infinitely silly, on top of the covers and fully dressed. But when he glances at Bull, the man's looking at him like a starving man considers a banquet. Any awkwardness Dorian may have felt flees in the face of that. Bull hums again and licks his lips, and Dorian has to remember to breathe, has to force himself to do it, slowly. He's not a child, a blushing virgin laid out to be deflowered. Surely we've better things to do than look at each other from across a room.
"I'm going to have you begging on my cock,"
Bull replies easily, and Dorian's breath catches in his throat again. Damn it! And with his eyes locked on Bull's, he lifts his hands to the collar of his tunic again, undoing the top clasp.
"You little shit!"
Bull laughs, and veritably launches himself across the room. "I'll be fine," Dorian says for what must be the 20th time. He knows his exasperation shows on both his face and in his tone, because Adar lifts a brow at him. "You haven't even thought about what you'd eat during the week, or drink, or... Fortunately, I have you to worry for me." She glares at him, and he laughs, waving a hand at her. "And others." Adar opens her mouth, surely to rebuke him, and then frowns. "Others? Did someone find out? I'll wring their necks." "The Iron Bull," Dorian interrupts, before his dear Inquisitor can elaborate on her efforts to protect Dorian through the gratuitous application of murder. "The Iron Bull knows." Adar blinks at him, taking the information in, and then nods. "Good." She reaches over and clasps Dorian's arm, squeezing once. "Shall I send for him when I leave?" Dorian laughs, a little high-pitched to his own ears, and wraps a hand around Adar's wrist, squeezing back. "I'm sure he wouldn't miss a moment of this." Adar huffs a laugh of her own, and lifts her hand from Dorian's arm to ruffle his hair, as though he were a child. He squawks at her, and she smiles, a soft twist of her lips. "Good." She leaves then, and Dorian locks the door behind her. It's an unnecessary precaution, but a habit he doubts he'll ever be able to shake, particularly given how he already feels aware of every inch of skin on his body, every shift of each muscle as he moves. He sets to laying runes around the room intended to strengthen the veil between the world and the Fade. He'd not wanted to start while Adar was there, had no desire to answer her questions about them. And he's midway through the final rune when he hears the door shudder, someone thinking it was left open, followed by a key jangling in the lock.
"Hey,"
Bull says, as soon as he's let himself in. And Dorian smiles despite himself when Bull doesn't lock the door behind him. The Kunari have no fear about this sort of thing. It's almost charming. Almost finished, he focuses on the final rune, and as it's completed, he breathes in, forcing himself to relax into the strange absence of the fade around him. There, far harder to lose oneself to possession now.
Well, that's good,
Bull says, and when Dorian looks back at him, he's got an exaggeratedly unperturbed expression on his face.
Let's shoot for a heat without demons at all.
Bull sets the pitcher and tray of food he'd been carrying on Dorian's dressing table. Dorian knew it'd be taken care of. There was no need for Adar's concern, bless her, and leans against it when he turns to look down at Dorian, arms crossing over his chest.
You doing all right?
It's only just starting. Dorian pushes himself to his feet and ignores how light-headed the motion makes him, all the blood in his body already routing towards his core. He moves to the dressing table, picking off a grape. Grapes! And Bull's brought bread and other fruits, simple things for when Dorian's too distracted for anything complicated, and eyeing Bull as he bites into it. Bull's eye is on Dorian's lips, and Dorian licks the grape into his mouth, and takes great pleasure in how Bull's eye narrows. I've set up chess, if you'd like. We can play before I'm too addled to beat you. Bull huffs, bumping into Dorian's side.
Then you're always too addled. I kick your ass every time.
He does, the bastard. I've the advantage this time around.
What, an excuse?
Bull lifts an eyebrow. Dorian laughs at him and places his hands on his hips, pulling the fabric across his backside taut when he walks towards the board he has ready across the room. There will come a moment at which point you'll be unable to concentrate as well.
Sure of yourself,
Bull replies, but the words come from low in his throat, and Dorian grins. He forgets how it feels in the months in between, the sudden need arcing through him, starting deep within his core and spiraling outwards, warm and satisfying and just this edge of painful, as though he's eaten too much spice. He hooks his hands around the arms of his chair and concentrates on the board, breathing out slowly. Bull glances up at him, and Dorian shakes his head. Bull narrows his eye, and Dorian glares at him until Bull huffs and looks back to the board, captures Dorian's tower. The bastard's going to win again. Dorian shudders the next time he inhales, the air too cold or his body too hot. It's cool as he breathes it in, sticks in his throat like ice. When it's Bull's turn again, Dorian pushes himself to his feet and shakes out his arms, raising them and locking his fingers behind his head, as though there is any point in delaying the inevitable, the warmth radiating out through his torso and limbs. Bull moves behind him. Dorian can hear it. And while he expects arms around him, what he gets, instead, is a hand holding a cup of water out in front of his face.
Here,
Bull says, unnecessarily, and Dorian takes it with a grateful tip of his head, before gulping it down, and then pulling a face. It's lukewarm. Bull chuckles.
You don't need cooling down. You need hydrated.
Thank you, Mother, Dorian mutters. He passes the cup back to Bull and, bloody fuck, very well shivers when Bull's hand brushes his. When the back of one of Bull's over-large fingers bumps against Dorian's knuckle. Dorian is struck by the exquisite memory of how those fingers feel, how carefully Bull worked each digit into Dorian, until he felt as though he were on fire, as though he... Dorian shudders, reaches out. Bull's strong hand wraps around his own, outstretched and trembling, and Dorian closes his eyes and swallows,
concentrates through the haze filling his mind. I always forget how quickly he starts, but the rest of the words leave him.
Probably worse because I'm here,
Bull says, the low timbre of his voice buffeting against Dorian, around him, reaching into the pit of his stomach and twisting.
Pheromones and all that shit.
Right, yes, Dorian agrees, because that must be it. That makes some amount of sense to his mind, which is already rapidly losing interest in thinking about anything at all, let alone the whys of the situation. We should... Bull's hand draws back from his, and Dorian's eyes snap open. The loss of touch wrong, inherently wrong, heavy and bitter on his tongue like burnt caramel. The air like untreated bronto hide across his skin. Bull!
You're okay. You're okay.
Bull consoles him, and Dorian's halfway to telling the idiot he's no such thing with Bull across the room and messing about with the water pitcher. But Bull lifts a brow at him, and Dorian's unable to look away from his mouth and his tongue, licking out over his bottom lip.
How about you get yourself more comfortable for me, Kadan?
Dorian nods, the motion strange, his head feeling far more weighted than he's used to, and he staggers towards his bed and pulls off his tunic. Simple, not buckles. He'd planned for this. He was capable of forethought at one point. Fuck. His palm grazes his left nipple, and he shudders, bending forward from the intensity of the sensation, similar to how sensitive his arse feels when he manages to taunt Bull into a rousing bit of spanking. The bed rises up to meet him. Thank the Maker, he's sure he would have collapsed onto the floor. And he rolls onto his back, legs hanging over the edge of the mattress, hand pressed firmly to his chest. This is your fault, Dorian says. Bull admitted as much, and Dorian believes it, knows it to be true, because he has no memory of a heat ever making him so startled by and invested in fucking nipple play. Come, get over here, you lout, you fucking... Bull moves into his line of sight, towering over him, the mattress barely skimming his knees, and Dorian cuts himself off and closes his eyes, dropping his hand to the mattress.
You just gonna lie back for me?
Bull rumbles. You're good at this, aren't you? Dorian says, the words spiraling into a low moan when he feels Bull's fingers brush against his stomach, hooking into the waistband of his trousers. The headiness is back, how Dorian can't help but focus on the points of pressure where Bull's knuckles press against his skin as he divests Dorian of the rest of his clothes.
Not gonna rest on my laurels,
Bull says, from somewhere near Dorian's thighs. Dorian hums, sliding one of his hands down his chest, palm firm against his skin, cool against his stomach. Bull's hands wrap around Dorian's ankles, his thumbs circling the bones. Dorian knows the name, did once, can't remember with the spike of lust Bull's hands on him sends through him. Such a simple touch. How would it feel if they were to... Touch me, Dorian commands, and Bull kisses the inside of his knees, his thighs. Bull's shaved recently, Dorian thinks with a strange burst of clarity. And then he drops both hands to Bull's horns as Bull breathes hot against Dorian's cock. He's not... It was easy to focus elsewhere. His chest, his stomach, because it all felt equally intense. But he was wrong, his mind playing tricks on him. The whole of it pales in comparison to the simple feel of air moving around him, knowing it's Bull. And then Bull moves in, mouthing at the head of Dorian's cock, and Dorian digs his fingers into Bull's horns, nails catching on the grooves. Bull takes Dorian's cock in one of his hands, licks at the head, and... Sweet Andraste! Dorian hisses. Must have. He can't think. Works his tongue under the fold of Dorian's foreskin. Dorian tips his head back,
his mouth falling open as he draws in shuddering gulps of air. And he feels... he could... his shoulders shake. He... his grip on Bull's horns tighten. "Fuck!" he gasps, cock jerking under Bull's touch. His mouth, and Bull hums.
"Shit, yeah,"
Bull says, drawing his fist closed around Dorian's cock and licking at his spend. The weight, the heaviness, lifts from Dorian, but doesn't leave, lingers almost within reach. And Dorian laughs weakly at the sudden rush of even that release. "Bull! Bull!" he breathes, keeps saying the name until Bull moves to hover above him, until Dorian rocks up and kisses him, tastes himself on Bull's tongue. Objectively disgusting. Absolutely invigorating.
"Look at you,"
Bull tells him, pressing kisses to Dorian's lips and jaw and neck, anywhere he can get to with Dorian's grip on his horns.
"Take the edge off a bit."
Dorian hums, feeling the relief keenly, and then gasps as his heartbeat is echoed in his core, a sudden aching throb that he knows from his past heats. "Fuck, never so quickly."
"Shit, already?"
Bull asks, and Dorian forces himself to settle enough to look up at him. Bull's eye wide, genuinely surprised. Dorian laughs, letting Bull's horns go, and he covers his face with one hand and thinks past the ache steadily building between his legs. "Pheromones and all that shit, I suppose."
"Gonna make me think I'm special,"
Bull replies. And when Dorian peeks through his spread fingers, Bull has a delighted smile on his face. Looks somehow smug as well.
Handsome.
Dorian raises his hand from his face, curving it around Bull's jaw, and taps his thumb against the edge of Bull's smiling lips. Dorian opens his mouth and immediately bites down on his bottom lip, sucking it into his mouth, the ache blooming through him.
"Hey, hey,"
Bull repeats, kissing Dorian's thumb briefly before pulling back, standing up, leaving a hand pressed to Dorian's stomach, thank the maker, so he's not left without that grounding touch while his body does its damnedest to set itself on fire. Heavy hands wrap around Dorian's hips, lifting him up the bed easy, so easy, and Dorian pushes into Bull's hold.
"I got you," Bull tells him then. "Roll over for me, sweetheart."
So Dorian does, aided by Bull's steady grip, strong hands. Dorian doesn't have time to load the rush of cool air on his backside before Bull's hands are on his arse, rubbing broad circles over his skin. Dorian rocks his hips up into it, chases a feeling he knows, fuck, he can't think, but he needs.
"I got you."
One of Bull's thumbs traces the dip at the base of Dorian's spine, drags down between his arse cheeks, hesitating over Dorian's hole. Dorian shudders, gasps against the sheets, and Bull whispers,
"I got you, Kadan."
And,
"Look at you, babe, already opening up for me, so good."
Dorian digs his fingers into the sheets, the mattress, and presses back into Bull's grip on him, into the sweet pressure of Bull's thumb working into his hole.
"Look at how wet you are,"
Bull tells him.
"So fucking gorgeous. So good for me."
And Dorian loses himself in that praise, in Bull's quiet words, in his weighty presence at Dorian's back.
"I want to eat you out. That okay, babe?"
Bull breathes against his hole, and Dorian nods before Bull's finished the question, pulling the sheets taut in his grip. He wants it, Bull's hands spreading him open while Bull's tongue works inside him, and he lets out a long whine when Bull does it, hands on his arse, licking across his hole.
"You taste incredible,"
Bull tells him. And if he says anything past that, it's lost to Dorian, melting in the haze of Dorian's mind, round vowels and low moans that fucking vibrate the base of his spine. Eventually, Dorian has little idea of how much time has passed. His entire world narrowed to the feeling of Bull in him, around him. But eventually, one of Bull's hands leaves his arse, sliding around his hip to press, firm, palm cool, capturing his cock against his stomach. Bull licks up the dip between Dorian's arse cheeks, and Dorian can feel how wet his mouth is, can feel Bull spread Dorian's slick across his skin. It's not enough. Without Bull's tongue, without his fingers, Dorian feels painfully empty, feels his arse, his hole, clench with nothing there to soothe the ache. "Please," he says, voice hoarse, quiet, lost in the sheets, perhaps. "Fuck. Bull, I need, please." Bull kisses the small of his back, and it feels so good, but it's not enough. Even with Bull's hand on his cock, it's never set on him so quickly. Truly the result of having an alpha close. When he can think straight, Dorian will strangle him, probably. And Dorian reaches back, searching blindly until his hand catches a horn.
"Hey, hey,"
Bull whispers, and he kisses Dorian's back once more, before shifting back, up, damnably away. He takes Dorian's hand in both of his, leads it off his horn.
"Roll over again, Cadan. Let me see your pretty face. You're doing so good."
Dorian twists underneath him, Bull keeping a loose grip on his hand so he can turn. And on his back, he gazes up at Bull, who looks gorgeous. Broad, unbelievably huge, shoulders taking up Dorian's entire line of sight. He smells incredible. Something Dorian can't describe, like contentment. And Dorian reaches up with his free hand, walks his fingers up Bull's arm. He drags his knuckles across Bull's collarbone, brings his hand to his mouth, and, maker, sucks one of his fingers into his mouth, tasting the salt of their combined sweat. It's heady, bitter, and Dorian laughs around his own damn forefinger as he watches Bull's eye dilate, as he watches Bull breathe in deep.
"Sweet fuck,"
Bull huffs out, and Dorian hums, and Bull grabs Dorian's thighs, spreading his legs.
"I'm gonna fuck you,"
he almost growls, and Dorian bends his knees, shakes when Bull looks down between them, and gets distracted by what he sees. When Bull grabs one of Dorian's legs under his thigh and pushes it up against his chest, when Bull rubs his knuckles against Dorian's hole, works his fingers back inside. Dorian bites down on his fingers, still in his mouth, and the noise he makes? Bull glances up at him, asks,
"You okay?"
And Dorian tugs his hand out of his mouth, smacks Bull uselessly against his chest. "If you don't fuck me, I'll do it myself," he snaps, far more articulate than he feels, and drops his hand to his arse. Bull knocks it away immediately, leans in, pushing Dorian's leg up, nearly against his chest.
"You gonna take what you need from me, Omega?"
Dorian can't see lower than Bull's chest, can't see Bull's free hand when he drops it between them. But he feels Bull's cock against his hole, and he reaches up, wraps his arm around his bent leg, opening himself up as Bull rocks his hips once.
"Or are you gonna let me give it to you?"
Dorian feels like the laugh is punched out of him, arousal spilling throughout his body, pulling at his lucidity. "Give it to me," he manages, and Bull says something in response. Guttural. Kunlot, maybe. But Dorian's attention is locked onto the slow stretch of his hole around Bull's dick, the filthy sound of it, how full he feels.
"Then nod,"
he hears Bull tell him. And he nods. He nods, trusting Bull with this even when he's lost in it. And Bull's hands fall to his hips, and the whole world shifts around Dorian. unnerving for half a moment, until he's upright, sitting, stretched around Bull's cock, Bull underneath him on the bed. Bull's hands stay on Dorian's hips, but he loosens his grip, and Dorian grabs at Bull's forearms, nails scratching skin as his own weight pulls him further onto Bull's cock. "Bloody fuck!" he hisses, and when he feels Bull's hesitation, bites out, "Don't you dare!" and pulls every muscle taut, relishing the feel of Bull's cock within him, and Bull's hands on his hips, tightening again, nails pressing into Dorian's skin, lets Bull's colorful cursing wash over him. Dorian pushes his palms flat against Bull's chest, tips his head back, rocks in Bull's grip. He wants Bull to bruise, wants Bull to feel it, and when Bull murmurs sweetly up at him, "Look at you, so fucking tight, baby, so good and wet and eager for me," Dorian should hate it, but it sets his hands shaking, the ache almost soothed, so close to feeling that relief. "Come for me, pretty," Bull tells him, coaxes him, lifts one of his hands from Dorian's hip to his back, between his shoulders, dragging his nails over his too hot skin, 5 points of sweet pain that Dorian can barely appreciate. "Let me see your pretty face when you come." And Dorian does, as though Bull has that control over him, as though it's what he was waiting for, Bull's command. His body quakes, his toes curling, his fingertips digging into Bull's chest. Bull's knees are behind his back then, and Dorian leans back against Bull's thighs, shudders through his orgasm like he's been electrified, lets out a long moan when Bull begins to thrust up into him. "Not me," Dorian breathes, and Bull swears and obeys. Dorian has moments of lucidity over the next handful of days. Bull tells him when it's night, and when it's morning again, but Dorian doesn't bother thinking past the weight of Bull's fingers on his tongue when Bull feeds him, past the stretch of Bull's cock in his arse, in his mouth. He remembers those incompetent alphas in Tevinter in one strange moment, rambling about nodding his mouth, and he almost understands that desire, the ache it would leave him with. And he forces Bull onto his back and rides him until he feels full and held and worshipped, Bull calling him sweetheart and pretty and Kadan. Bull kisses the crown of Dorian's head, breathing out in a huff that feels warm against Dorian's skin. It's passing. It's passing, and though he still feels the craving that accompanies his heat, he can think beyond satisfying it. Though he finds that, lying as he is, with Bull's knot firmly inside of him, and Bull at his back, he doesn't necessarily wish to. He tightens the muscles of his core, gleaning pure delight out of the groan the action pulls out of Bull. "Give a guy time to breathe." Bull kisses Dorian's shoulder, up his neck, and Dorian hums, rocking his hips, tugging at Bull's knot. Bull curses under his breath and wraps his arm around Dorian's waist, keeping him still. Dorian's relaxed, a veritable mess of flesh and bone, but there are still the last vestiges of need itching at the base of his spine. He lifts his hand, reaching back behind Bull's neck to cradle the base of his skull in his palm. Thinks of Bull calling him Omega while they fucked. "Alpha," he says, and Bull curses again. Dorian can't help himself, grins and scrapes his fingernails against Bull's scalp. "Alpha," he repeats, and bucks his hips against Bull's firm hand, hissing at the pole where they're connected. "I want you to fuck me, Alpha." "You little shit," Bull rattles at him, but Dorian can hear the affection in his tone, tired as it may be, and Bull's hand starts circling on his hip, his fingers threading through the hair surrounding Dorian's cock. please, Dorian says, and Bull breathes out a, you asshole, at the back of Dorian's head, before rolling them until Dorian's caught between the iron bull and the bed, hand still at Bull's head, gasping against the ruined sheets. Dorian's woken up from worse heats. His first was a disaster that he doesn't allow himself to think upon, and the heat that had befallen him while he was tracking Alexius south was a nightmare. Turned away from inns and taverns until a charitable chantry mother took pity on him and let him occupy her hovel until he could once again walk straight. When he wakes, he's sore, of course, and thirsty, but neither parched nor starving, which is a kindness. He sits up, hand to his head to brush his hair away from his eyes, and, well, that's an odd sensation. The sudden and steady drip of someone's spend from one's body. If he had any interest in sex right now, it'd probably be arousing. Bull would most assuredly find it so. As it stands, it's simply odd. Bull lies asleep next to him, and Dorian considers letting him alone. The man's done enough in these few days, and surely deserves his rest. But he knows Bull would be distressed in his own way, were Dorian to rob him of an opportunity to pamper him. He touches Bull's closest shoulder. The man spread out on his back, one arm thrown across his face. He looks positively exhausted, even in sleep. Dorian second-guesses himself. Decides not waking him is probably the kinder option. He climbs out of bed. Slowly, dear maker, his body feels like he's been tossed about by a giant. Not untrue, all things considered. And pours himself water, eats from the plate of breads and cheeses, what Bull hadn't fed him while he was under. There's movement from behind him, a long groan that sends a thrill up Dorian's spine. Heat passed then, but not entirely forgotten. And Dorian returns to the bed with water and a roll which he passes to Bull before sitting next to him. Bull hums his thanks and swigs down the water in a single gulp, tearing into the bread. It's gone in seconds. Dorian has no idea how, and Bull rests his hand on the small of Dorian's back, his fingers slowly inching down to Dorian's arse, towards his veritably abused and still Andraste's assumedly glorious tits, leaking whole. You're ridiculous, Dorian says quietly, closing his eyes and turning his face towards Bull's chest. Bull kisses the top of his head, likely mussing Dorian's hair even further, and Dorian sinks into his hold. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening. Shakes Me, Makes Me Lighter. Written by A Murder Of. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, Dragon Age Inquisition. Rating, explicit. Relationship, The Iron Bull, Dorian Pavas. Also tagged for Omegaverse. Alpha, beta, omega dynamics. Mating cycles, / in heat. And nodding. Part 2 of the Fearless on My Breath series. He keeps the powder in a jar on his dressing table. Every 3 months, he spoons some of it into a mug and mixes it into water with his finger. It's supposed to be tasteless, but when he swallows it down, it lingers on his tongue, affects the taste of everything else he eats for the next couple of days, mutes everything. He gets a kick out of eating spicy shit all lackadaisically and offering it to people and acting surprised when it burns their mouths. When he explains it to Sarah, after she's stopped crying and threatening to stab him with one of his own horns, she thinks it's hilarious. Tries to talk him into letting her have enough to prank people, actually. He knows exactly how much is left in the jar, though, and he's not sure he's ever gonna get more. So she has to make do with sitting next to him and watching.
"So it keeps you from losing it, huh?"
she asks, glaring down into her empty flagon like she doesn't know where the beer got off to.
"No squishy pfft!"
She puffs up her cheeks and sets the flagon down, curving her hands into a circle and then moving them apart.
"For the canary pokers?"
Bull laughs, remembering the exact color of Dorian's flush when Sarah had first called him a fireplace, all hot and ready to go off. Not with shame, though. Bull would have talked to her if Dorian had looked ashamed to hear it. He just looked shocked about it being said out loud, then surprised about nobody giving a rat's ass about it. Bull shakes his head, has to clear the image of the way Dorian's mouth had parted while he ran his tongue over his lips, nervous. "Nah, I'm still fully functional. Just keeps me from going into rut. Keeps my head above water." Sarah snorts and smacks her palm against the tabletop.
"Boring! Why would you ever? It's fun to lose your head sometimes."
"We're all the better for me keeping my head in the game," Bull replies easily, and Sarah lets out a long raspberry. And Bull swigs down his beer and doesn't think about how many months of Akun Asala powder he's got left in that jar. Dorian's a kinky little shit when he wants to be, or, more accurately, when he feels comfortable enough. He hints at stuff Bull's done, what Bull knows the ins and outs of, but wouldn't suggest, too concerned about making Dorian feel like Bull was pressuring him into it, and then begs for it, demands it when Bull's got him laid out across his bed, arms pinioned to the mattress, legs spread. Dorian's cock is gorgeous, arced up against his stomach, and his ass is beyond words. His pink little hole tight around three of Bull's fingers, even after Bull's been working him for what must have been half an hour already.
"Fuck me,"
Dorian breathes out, voice still crackling from his first orgasm, when Bull swallowed his pretty dick down.
"Bull, fuck me. Use your fingers after."
"Yeah?" Bull asks, a slow grin spreading across his face when he glances up at Dorian. "Or I can make you come again, from this." It's easy to angle his fingers up and press against the nub that makes Dorian lose coherence for a moment, shudder and slam his head back.
"After!"
Dorian hisses,
tossing his head back on his pillow like he's disagreeing with himself. Fuck me, and then I want your fingers. Stop ring me up. Bull hums low at that, ducking forward to press a kiss to Dorian's hip. Keep telling you we should get something made for that.
And I could have something made to replace your absurdly large member, but I rather prefer the real thing when available.
Bull laughs, moving his mouth over Dorian's skin, licking at the beads of sweat pooling in the dip near Dorian's navel. Don't knock it till you've tried it, babe. Dorian huffs and lifts his hips up, knocking his belly against Bull's chin, his cock glancing off Bull's cheek. And Dorian's laugh is cut short when Bull slides another finger into him.
Oh, just fuck me with wild abandon!
Dorian eventually gets out, throwing an arm across his face, and he bites down on his lower lip when Bull removes his fingers and shifts onto his knees.
Take!
Dorian snarls. And when Bull maneuvers him the way he wants him, kicks Bull's back with his heel.
My watchword is Archon, and yours is Kato, and you will fuck me until I scream.
Bossy,
Bull coos, and Dorian's responding laugh is cut off, skittering into a low fuck as Bull guides his cock into him. Later, Bull's fingers curl inside of him. Dorian lets out a long sigh, stretching like a cat, his toes pointing, his arms reaching up above his head. He drops his elbows to Bull's shoulders, brushing his knuckles across Bull's jawline, up over his cheeks. Bull loves him like this, content and warm and well-fucked, tactile in a way he rarely is outside of these moments.
You're so good to me,
Dorian murmurs, eyes closed, head resting against Bull's forearm. So attentive. Bull chuckles, flexing his arm and unsettling Dorian, whose face scrunches up like it does when he's gotten a face full of bright light in the morning.
You complaining, Kadan?
Dorian smacks him with one hand, palm flat against the side of Bull's face, before relaxing again. He smirks and hums.
I can't wait until your next rut. I'll get to take care of you in the most selfish way available.
Bull thinks immediately of the jar, and how little of the Ekunasala's left. Half a year, if he's lucky. He could ration it out, maybe. See what he's like with half a dose. Double the time he's got left.
Bull?
Dorian's eyes open, his forehead furrowing. Bull forces himself to relax, and flexes his fingers in Dorian's ass as a distraction. Dorian shudders, and bites down on his bottom lip. Bull leans in and kisses him, taking that lip between his own teeth. Dorian won't forget this later. He'll bring it up again and not let Bull change the subject. But Bull can buy himself some time to figure out what he's going to say. Bull's been called in by Tamasarans before, done his part, fell into his rut and fucked whoever they'd picked out. The first time had been almost too much, off the Ekunasala and trying to control himself while every ounce of his body wanted to touch, to fuck. It was all monitored, though. He was never alone. He knew if he ever got dangerous, there were Tamasarans on hand to take care of it, and whichever Omega he'd been matched with would be all right if he wasn't. It was safe, if kind of clinical. But breeding wasn't about feeling good, about having fun. It was about a suitable Alpha and Omega that would produce the best offspring. Bull was worried that first time, certain he'd hurt somebody. But it'd gone fine. Nobody got hurt, and nobody got hurt the second time either. Or the third. But he knows his size and his strength, and he knows those results have more to do with the Tamasarans being there to intercede when needed. He doesn't remember everything, but he knows one time he got knocked out, too out of it even after he'd nodded. He can't have hurt the Omega. They'd have taken him out of the breeding program if he were that dangerous. But he'd been close a couple of times, overwhelmed. He gives himself a half dose at the beginning of his next rut. He feels it. The urge. Like the feeling he gets when the boss takes him dragon hunting with her. It's deep within his stomach, as though he could eat and satiate it. But it bleeds out through his chest, his legs, down through every nerve like he's been electrified. A pressing need that makes him more aware of the people moving around him. The smell of their sweat. The heat of their skin. Cassandra is an alpha. He could ask her how she manages, because he knows she excuses herself for her own ruts. He isn't privy to the details, though. Makes it a point not to figure it out of respect for her privacy. Plus, she's human, and a seeker besides. He doesn't doubt Templars have their own ways of dealing with this shit. They've got other Kunari in the keep as well, but they're all Vashoth, like the boss. So they've dealt with anything that comes up on their own since they were born. Bull supposes you figure shit out right quick when you don't have an alternative. What you've got to be careful of when you lose yourself. All he's got is memories of watchful eyes and firm hands holding him in place when he couldn't manage it on his own. Well, and the Acuna Sala, which he's got enough left of to last him another rut. And only because he's split it up and is dealing with whatever the fuck this half-rut is now. When Dorian comes to his room that night, Bull's in the middle of writing a report. They don't get sent anywhere anymore, but the process has always calmed him, helped him focus. He'd found after he'd gone Talvashoth that putting everything into perspective, like he was telling it to a superior, made it easier. It's a variation of a technique he learned after Saharan. You have more control over your brain, and by extension your body, than you'd think. Tell your brain something enough times, and even if you knew it wasn't true, you'd act like it was. Doesn't work all the time, though. Dorian's dressed down, no robe strapped over his leathers, dark shoulders and arms bare. He gives Bull a dazzling smile and saunters towards Bull at his desk, setting the bottle of wine and glasses he'd brought with him next to the stack of Bull's past fake reports. Bull tells himself that he's in control, that the tension arcing through his body isn't blurring his vision, that when he breathes Dorian in, he's gonna stay sitting where he is.
"And how goes your journaling this evening?"
Dorian asks, loosening the cork in the wine with a wave of his hand, and catching it with a flourish when it pops out. The scent of wine flooding the room is almost too much. A sudden rush of tart spice that has Bull holding his breath.
"Anything interesting I may have missed?"
Bull forces himself to look down at the pages of parchment, to read over one paragraph instead of standing up, wrapping his arms around Dorian and going from there. Cole started asking Sarah's advice on stuff that'll make people happy, since he can't read everybody's minds as well anymore. Said she makes people laugh, so she should know.
"Oh, that will end well, I'm sure,"
Dorian says, with a bark of laughter. He pours the wine and takes up one of the glasses, breathing in the scent before taking a healthy swig.
"Now this is worth savoring for once."
When Bull looks back up at him, Dorian's eyes are fixed on his face, and Bull finds himself swallowing uncomfortably, shifting in his seat. He should tell Dorian to leave, fancy it up somehow so Dorian doesn't take it personally. But then, Dorian's wearing what he does when he's interested in slow and intense, and if Bull begs off, there's gonna be questions. In lieu of lying out of his ass, Bull drinks his own damn wine and shit, and has to give himself some time to process the flavors. Should have asked Dorian if there was any chance of that Ferelden piss, not something with bite. When he meets Dorian's eyes again, Dorian's brows are lowered and his lips are pursed. "Sorry," Bull starts, "feeling under the weather." And Dorian's expression doesn't lighten, grows infinitely more thunderous, like he can tell Bull's telling some version of the truth, but still lying to him. Like he's shit. Bull breathes in slow and deep, closing his eye. Like he's worried.
Bull sets his wine on the desk and drags a hand across his face. Don't think I'm up for much tonight. Dorian makes this small, sad noise, and then he's behind Bull, dragging his thumbs into Bull's shoulders with little enough warning that Bull tenses, and then moans as he relaxes into it. Shit. His skin burns under Dorian's hands, each touch like a strike from a hot iron.
Yes, use your words,
Dorian says archly, and Bull feels Dorian's lips brush against the base of his skull.
Should I have a bath drawn for you?
That'd be real nice, Bull replies, the words barely making it out of his throat. And Dorian hums and works a knuckle into a particularly vicious muscle along his neck. Bull's dick can't help but get interested as he sits naked in a tub and Dorian rubs a soapy washcloth across his back. But Dorian doesn't make note of it beyond letting himself get an eyeful. Bull's grateful for the acceptance of his uncharacteristic disinterest, regardless of what his dick's thinking about the situation. Regardless of what Bull's envisioning happening, grabbing Dorian by the arm and pulling him into his lap, getting his hole loose, fucking into him for hours until his voice goes hoarse from screaming, he leans his head forward, between his shoulders, and breathes in slow, ignores the heat and tension in his gut, focuses on the broad situation. Dorian's gonna ask about this eventually. It's only a matter of time, and Bull's only making it worse by delaying.
Will you be all right?
Dorian asks him, and there's a thread of disappointment running through the concern. Not at the situation. Dorian's fine with nothing happening when Bull's not feeling it. But at Bull, maybe. Disappointed Bull's still not telling him what's wrong. It's understandable. Bull won't hold it against him. I'll be good, Kadan, Bull replies, covering Dorian's hands on his shoulders with his own. I'll be good. And he is good. He gets there, once he can trust himself again. As soon as Bull's rut goes back to whatever fresh hellscape it came from, he picks Dorian up at the waist and throws him over his shoulder, smiling big at Dorian's squawks of pleased outrage and the aggrieved look on Cullen's face for interrupting their chess game. Cullen was going to win. It was a foregone conclusion as soon as Dorian had argued for black. Dorian stretches across their bed like a happy cat after, curling his toes into the sheets and brushes his fingertips against the headboard. Oh, I missed that, he purrs, and Bull laughs at him kindly and drops kisses across his dark skin. The Akune Asala runs out. He knew it was going to. It's not a surprise. But he still sits on the edge of his bed and holds the jar, passing it between his hands. He could talk to Josephine, see if she had any connections in... But no, the Inquisition burned that bridge a long time ago. No Kunari would have anything to do with them, let alone begrudgingly trade contraceptives. He damn sure misses being a savage Kunari, what with all of their brutish actual medicine... He bets if he went to one of the healers in the courtyard, they'd recommend leeches. Which, shit, there's sort of an option. Stitches takes the jar from him and holds it to his nose, frowning when he breathes in whatever's left in it. You should have brought some of this to me, he says reasonably, putting the lid back on the empty jar and setting it on the long table in the room he shares with Grimm. Could have tried to figure it out if I had a sample. I'll bet it's too much to ask that you know what goes in it. Bull shrugs a shoulder and heads over to look at the shelves of plants and animal bits Stitches has lining the walls of his room. Bull's not entirely sure where Grimm fits, with all of Stitches' shit everywhere. Anything I gave you would be a dose I didn't get. He grabs a jar and unscrews the lid, giving the contents a whiff, and grimaces, recapping it and putting it back.
There are whole roles devoted to creating it, to sourcing what you need and combining it all right. I wouldn't be able to figure it out even if I had everything in front of me. Stitches lets out a long sigh and licks his finger before sticking it into the jar. His face twists up when he sticks the finger in his mouth, and Bull chuckles when he hurries over to his desk to pour himself a glass of water to wash the taste from his tongue. Well, it tastes like shit, so we know not to start with anything particularly edible. Bull huffs a laugh and carefully doesn't hope. He does bring it up with Cassandra. He has a month until his next rut, give or take a week, and it's unlikely Stitches can replicate the EQ Nasala. Dorian's last heat never came, and Bull knows why only because Dorian had flushed cherry red when Bull asked. Apparently it's a thing. In partnered pairs, or... And Dorian had cut himself off, unsure of the words, or surprised that he had a chance to say them, to ever explain this. Fuck Tevinter. Or people who regularly share heats, their cycles align. I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner, to be honest. And Dorian's not an idiot. He knows Bull hasn't gone into rut since they've known each other. Bull's not sure what he's been telling himself to explain it, and Bull hasn't said anything by way of an explanation because he's a damn coward. Dorian hasn't asked because he's better at this relationship thing than he gives himself credit for. Cassandra's sitting at a long table in the blacksmith's, parchment spread before her like she's trying to match up information from multiple sources, but she looks up quickly when Bull darkens the doorway. I'm sorry, Bull. I've no time to spar this afternoon. These reports will be the death of me, and if they are not, Josephine will be if I do not get them to her. She gives him a firm smile, and he lets out a slow sigh. He lets the desperation he feels in the marrow of his bones show on his face, and she stills, her hand halfway to picking her ink pen back up. She leans back and scrutinizes his expression, the rounding of his shoulders, and nods once. Sit down, Bull. Thanks, Seeker. I'll take the brunt of Josie's wrath if you need a meat shield. Bull smiles, and her frown intensifies. He sits and rubs at his eye with his palm, tries to think about how he's even supposed to start this. May as well take it from the top. People get weirded out less when they've got all the information in front of them, even if it can sometimes blindside them. The Kuhn teaches that everything and everyone has its time and place, has a duty. So as soon as you're old enough, they hand you this jar, fits in your palm, and instruct you how to use it if it's not your time. You only go into rut or heat when the Tamasrans need you to breed. It's straightforward, makes sense for when you're out in a war zone. You just mix it into a cup of water and you're good to go. Cassandra's still frowning, but it's contemplative now, like something slotting into place for her. He'd guess she's reconsidering the Kunari and Kirkwall, given how she only had Varric's book to go off of originally. And sure, this isn't about Hawk, but the Kunari sure had a lot to do with what went down there. Fuck, bold guess most of the Arashok's stranded Untom was on its way to running out of Akunasala. They were probably on the verge of losing their minds. How long does a jar last? He breathes out slow, shifting on the bench. Full up? About a year. There's a group of Tamasrans whose sole responsibility is mixing it up for everybody. I got resupplied when Gat first showed up, before everything went to shit. She purses her lips. How long has it... She cuts herself off, her brow furrowing even deeper. This is an inappropriate question for me to ask, but I'm... How long has it been since you last... She circles the fingers of one of her hands, as though prompting him to finish the sentence for her. And shit, she's already going outside of her wheelhouse talking to him about this in the first place. He can do the heavy lifting. I haven't reported back to the Tamasrans for breeding since I left for the south. Her eyes widen. Bull, that's... surely that's unsafe, to suppress one's rut for so long? Bull shrugs, and lets out a low laugh when she glares at him. Biggest problem I'm facing now is what to do next time. I've got a month until the next one hits. He doesn't tell her about how that just complicates things with Dorian's heat. Not his place to bring that up. But she seems to hear what's unspoken anyway, raising a hand and pressing her knuckles to her lips while she thinks.
You learn young about control and the importance of isolation, she says, her voice half muffled. But she doesn't seem embarrassed to say it, so maybe the position helps. Without stimulus, one's rut is uncomfortable but not unendurable. The same philosophy is used for unpaired omegas, though it is more likely for an alpha to be an aggressor than the reverse.
Isolated? In Skyhold? Bull asks, though he knows something's gotta exist, if Cassandra's suggesting it. She nods once, lowering her hand from her mouth, and then sets him with a firm smile. And, if you are concerned, there is very little within to break. Dorian's expression has gone brittle, and Bull hates himself for keeping this to himself for so long. Cowardice, mostly. Fucking cowardice.
Could you say that again?
Bull breathes in slowly and rubs his thumb across his brow. I can't be there for your next heat. Dorian's already nodding halfway through Bull's reply, his mouth a thin line. He crosses his arms, rolling his shoulders back.
And I suspect you will simply be indisposed elsewhere?
Bull's glad he waited until they were alone. Dorian wouldn't be honest with how he felt if Bull mentioned something in public. In Bull's room, they can both be transparent. He nods, dragging his teeth along his bottom lip. Cassandra's gonna let me use one of the isolation rooms in the tower. Dorian swallows, and his arms tighten across his chest. His body's tense, like he's ready to make a break for the door as soon as the conversation's over.
Obviously, that's your decision to make.
I haven't had a rut in 13 years, Bull replies with what he should have fucking led with, and Dorian's face goes slack with surprise.
You... what?
Dorian's mouth falls open and stays that way until he begins forming silent syllables, struck dumb. Bull figures it was something Dorian hadn't considered. Bull keeps his shit too close to the vest. He drags a hand across his face and shrugs. I don't trust myself with you. That I'll keep my wits about me.
You would never hurt me, Dorian snaps, like he's outraged at the mere idea.
Bull feels a weird sort of pride in Dorian's certainty, but he shakes his head, catching Dorian's hands up in his and raising them to his mouth, pressing kisses to his knuckles. Dorian sways into the touch, and Bull watches a kind of desperation slide over his face.
Bull, you would never hurt me,
he repeats, more solemn this time, and Bull cracks a smile at him, like it's gonna somehow reassure him. Dorian just looks petulant. Good look on him, and Bull chuckles and holds Dorian's hands to his chest. You've gotta let me determine that, Kadan.
Do I? Because it seems to me you are being needlessly cautious.
Dorian scoffs, but he doesn't try to pull his hands away. Means Bull's gonna win this, for varying definitions of the word win. I'm sorry, Bull says, and Dorian closes his eyes and leans forward, and Bull dutifully presses a kiss to his forehead. It's not as bad as he'd expected. It's like surfacing after diving into a deep lake. Everything around you too bright and too loud after long seconds of muffled sounds, blurred figures. The water rushing from your mouth and your ears and your nose, until you breathe in and it all snaps back to you. Reality. He spends the first day reading. Nothing better to do. The vellum pages feel heavy in his hands, and he loses time with his fingertips against the book's leather spine. He can feel each fucking groove in the leather. He smells the maid before he hears her soft-soled shoes against the stones, smells the meat she must be bringing to him. Cassandra had explained that the kitchens were well prepared to deliver food to the isolation rooms. All you had to do was make him aware. And, sure enough, the hatch at the bottom of the door slides open, and a tray's pushed through. Makes him feel a little bit like a prisoner, though he supposes the food's better. He eats and drinks, and he reads, and he feels fine, if more aware of his surroundings. Which is fine. He's doing good. It's early morning, pink light pouring through the high window opposite the door, and Bull wakes with a pounding headache and a throbbing dick. He lets out a curse, mouth dry, and fumbles with the tie of his trousers. His fingers are too fucking big, his hands sweaty. He bites back another curse and knocks his head back against the shitty pillow on the shitty cot in this shitty room, and reaches down, palming himself through the fabric, which feels like coarse wool. Fucking terrible. But it's better than the knee that hits him when he stops, when he wraps his hand around the side of the cot and feels the wood strain under his grip. He remembers this, the sudden onslaught, and he remembers a Tamasran cupping his jaw and murmuring to him words of comfort and commands, instructions for his role and for what they wished of him. And that was easy, made things infinitely easier. There was a purpose to the need building in him, to the heat crawling up his spine. There is no purpose here. He's lying on a cot in a tiny room, and his blood is on fire. Time passes. It has to, even if he can't gauge the speed of it, can't figure out what time it is through the haze over his mind. There's sunlight in the room, but he doesn't know if it's morning or afternoon. He knows he's eaten twice, three times, pissed and shat and tried and failed to think past the fucking thunderstorm going on behind his eye. He doesn't know how long it's been, when his senses lock onto something, someone outside the door. He got rid of his trousers an age ago, and his every limb feels like it weighs 1,000 pounds. His fucking dick's sore. When he shoves himself off the cot, he sways forward with the momentum and has to hustle to keep on his feet. Ends up palms flat on the far wall as he steadies himself. It's like he drunk a lot. Drunk a lot, and instead of a hangover, he just stayed drunk. He staggers towards the door, and whoever the fuck's on the other side, whoever's lighting up parts of his head that have been stagnant since this bullshit started, is right on the other side of the door. He can hear him breathing. He can smell them, like they'd bathed in a tub of perfume and not bothered with rinsing. There's a sharp voice then, too damn loud, echoing between Bull's ears. Something about control and danger, and the growl starts in Bull's chest when there's a response. Words muffled, but voice clear enough to be Dorian, right on the other side of the door. Right on the other side of the frigging door. Dorian, who's shit, who's going through his heat, who's right there. Bull presses his palms flat against the door and breathes in as deep as he can. His whole body shakes when he exhales. He wants. He doesn't know what the fuck he wants. He could probably get out, rush the door and splinter it. Built to house elves originally. No real match for a Kunari. And he considers it, leaning into the door to hear it creak. The voices rise in volume in the hallway, and Bull pulls himself back, steps away from the door and shakes his head to clear some of the haze, to let himself think instead of want. Because he doesn't know what he wants. He doesn't but he's glad Dorian's on the other side of the door. Glad Josephine manages the keys to the isolation rooms. Glad when there's quiet on the other side of the door. Dorian hustled off somewhere safe. Bull turns his back to the door and slides down onto his ass, tips his head back, and breathes in what's left of the scent of his... of Dorian. Spits into his palm and strokes himself off to the thought of Dorian seeking him out, heat-addled and needy. Knots his own damn grip and keens, because it's fucking wrong. Nothing to hold him, nothing to hold on to, nothing to soothe how alone he is in this godforsaken room, or how overexposed he feels.
Based upon your initial concerns, I had expected you to break down the door.
Bull looks up from the wages balance sheet he's been forcing himself to concentrate on for the last hour. Normally he can crank one out in 15 minutes, but it's been hard to focus on intangibles. Proposed equipment cost versus actuals makes his head pound. There's no fire lit in the hearth, because the light and heat emanating from the candle on his desk was almost too much to handle on its own. Dorian's mostly in shadow where he stands just inside Bull's room. The candlelight flickers across his face, highlighting his cheekbones, the tip of his nose, his pursed lips. His posture's relaxed. No, not relaxed. Tired. In the same way Bull remembers from the months before the two of them started anything. Bull wonders if he could see him right, if Dorian's eyes would be as glassy as his own feels. Dorian clears his throat, and Bull remembers he said something. Wanna elaborate? Dorian huffs a laugh and pushes himself away from the wall, moving closer into the dancing candlelight. There are dark circles under his eyes. Bull wants to reach up and run his thumbs under them, kiss them. He stays where he's sat, but turns in the chair. Dorian's hair's a mess. All he's probably done for the last 24 hours is sleep, and as soon as he woke up, he made his way here without looking in a mirror.
You were convinced you would be unsafe, Dorian says, his smile just as tired as the rest of him.
I was damn close to it. I was a fucking mess, Bull replies bluntly, and lays down his pen. He pushes past the memory, the desperation, the relentless need of it. How easy it would have been to burst his way out of that room. Dorian hums and raises a hand up between them, holding it just to the side of Bull's face. Bull forces himself to be still, forces himself to ignore the urge to lean into the touch, pushes himself past it. He breathes in slowly, and then out, and when Dorian moves his hand to cut Bull's jaw, Bull's whole fucking body shudders.
And you did not,
Dorian tells him, tone firm. He rubs his thumb across Bull's chin, and Bull closes his eye.
You could have gotten to me, out in that hallway. I put very few limitations on your strength. The door would not have held you.
Bull swallows, starts to shake his head, and stops. Course it was some sort of experiment. Dorian trying to prove something. Dorian wanting to be right. Fuck, but it makes Bull want to draw him into his arms and kiss him, as much as he wants to shake him for doing something so stupid. That should have been a fucking mess, Bull mutters, and Dorian laughs, leans forward to kiss the top of Bull's head, his lips dry and rough against Bull's skin. Bull can't say it's proof. He's not cavalier enough to let that count as evidence. As him keeping his head. Next time, they can take it slow. Somehow. Ask somebody to check in, maybe. Dorian won't want to hear that. Dorian'll hate the idea from conception through implementation. Bull presses into Dorian's touch, and slots each of his thoughts carefully where they need to go, so he can dig into him later. Now, he curves his hands over Dorian's hips and makes Dorian laugh.
And I'd kind of thought you'd sought me out because you were just so lonesome. So you've ruined that fantasy. The end.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!